Baruchim Habayim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Pinchas. The Shir is said Lezeche Nishmas Uleili Nishmas Rebecca Bas Serina and Leon Ben Rachel, your dear parents. May the Neshama Tahiris have a lichtige Gan Eden. If a person takes a look, obviously in Parshas Pinchas, there is an incredible amount that we can speak about, but I'd like to focus primarily on one pasuk, or really one inyan, or perhaps two inyanim, but I'd like to tie it into what we are now in the middle of the 3 weeks, known as Bein HaMetzarim, Between the Straits, a reference to Shivoser Tetamuz to Tisha B'Av. As I mentioned this past Shabbos in the afternoon, in Perek Shir, I think it's very important to remember, especially at the beginning of Parsha Insights, Parsha Pinchas, people have to realize that the 3 weeks, people mistakenly think in the 3 weeks are 21 days. That's not true. Obviously, when we just had Shivasa B'Tamas, it was on a Sunday. If Cholila were still in Golos in a few weeks, and we have to experience a Tisha B'Av is also on Sunday. That means if it starts on a Sunday, it ends on a Sunday, and the 3 weeks are actually 22 days. And I once heard beautifully, if you take a look at Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov Avinu is giving a bracha, Yaakov Avinu says, Becho Yevorech Yisrael, in you and through you shall Klal Yisrael be blessed. The word Becho is spelled Beis Chof, which of course has the gematria, the numeric value of 22. And that could be a reference to Becho. If we utilize the 22 days properly, Yevorech Yisrael, then they could be turned into days of blessings, and we could turn the Bein HaMetzorim from Shivoser to Tisha B'Av into a true Mayed. So I think a focus of ours has to be Becho, how to utilize the 22 days as the numeric value of Beis Chof Becho, Yevorech Yisrael, so we could turn it into days of blessing. And of course on Shabbos we spoke about the fact that a person has to realize there are days to accomplish, days of Avodah, days that we could strive to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. In Chamishi of the Parsha, we speak about the Karban Tomid. That's the Karban that was brought twice a day, in the morning and the afternoon, and that's followed by Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Pesach, and Shavuos, and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkah, Shmini Atzeres. And that's the way the Parsha concludes, speaking about the Regalim, the Mayadim. So I'd like to focus first on the idea of the Karban Tamid, and then see how we could tie that into a concept of the Sholosh Regalim that are mentioned after that. The first is something we've mentioned in the past. It's a well-known pshat from the Maral. It's an extraordinary pshat. In fact, the Pshat of Maral is so telling that it's something we have the ability to think about every day of our lives. The Maral is speaking about a Medrash, that there was a debate, so to speak, in the Beis Medrash, which is the Pasuk in the Torah that's all-inclusive. That one Pasuk that best is the synopsis of Kol HaTorah Kula. There was one opinion, that of Ben Zayma, that famously says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And I'm sure many of us would have chosen that pasuk. There was another opinion, that of Benanis, where Benanis, and I imagine others in the room would say, V'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha, that would be the pasuk that is all-inclusive, that one uses as a synopsis for the entirety of the Torah. Then there's a third opinion where Ben Pazi comes along and he quotes a pasuk in this week's parsha reference to the Karban Tamid, Esakeves Echot Tasev Abayim, Esakeves Hashem Tasev Ben Arboyim, that you bring one of the lambs in the morning and the second one in the afternoon, and that was the pasuk that was chosen as being all inclusive. And obviously, you have to wonder, if I would ask you to pick one pasuk that's all inclusive, Bob, surely you would have picked either Shema Yisrael, or I imagine you would have picked perhaps Yehafla Recha Kamaicha. But to all those that are listening now in the Gan, or those who are listening live, or those who, the many who will hear when it's sent out, Why should those two psukim not be the one that was chosen? The one that was actually chosen, the pasuk of Ben Pazi, about a karban tamid. One is brought in the morning, the other is brought in the afternoon. And although the other two are clearly such fundamental psukim, it's that third one. That's the one that's describing the karban tamid. That's the most essential of all of them. In fact, to add to that, you could say Shema Yisrael would be the ultimate pasuk of Bein Adam LaMakim. The Hafleracha Kamech would be the ultimate pasuk of Bein Adam LaChaveray. And yet neither of those were chosen. Why? So on many occasions we said over the well-known shot of the Maral, and I think it has a lot of significance to what we call the 3 weeks, but you heard a few moments ago we said accurately the 3 weeks have 22 days. And keep in mind our avoid and focus should be Bechav, Beis Chav, take the 22 days, utilize them properly as opportunities, Yevarech Yisrael, so these days could be turned into days of bracha, and as we said earlier, Tisha B'Av could indeed be Be'ezras Hashem this year already a proper Mayed. Why is it the Pasuk of Karban Tamid is the one that was chosen as the all-inclusive of the Torah? The Maral famously explains, while you're right, Shema Yisrael is the ultimate Pasuk of Bein Adam LaMokim, and V'Yahaf L'Recha Kamaycha is the ultimate Pasuk of Bein Adam LaChaveray, but the idea of a Karban Tamid represents Timidius. Timidius means consistency. You bring it in the morning, you bring it in the afternoon. You bring it again in the morning, and you bring it in the afternoon. Every day, day in, day out, week in and week out. And so much of our devotion to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to his Torah is how do we do with Tamidius, how do we do with consistency. And that's why, by the way, if you will, for a moment, so much of the success of the Daf HaYomi, or Mishnayis Yomi, Amud Yomi, the Halachos daily, so much of what we do is the Yomi, the fact that it's day in and day out, that consistency is a much truer barometer of who we are and what we aren't. Of course, everything, even those things that are not as common, far more infrequent, are of utmost importance. But the true barometer and test of who a person is how do they do with the karban tamid of their life, morning, afternoon, day in and day out. That consistency is really the greatest indicator of how committed and how devoted we are to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to his Torah. Says the Maral, it's the greatest demonstration of our serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. We've completely subjugated ourselves to his will, and that's why that pasuk is the one of the three that's chosen. Of course, Shema Yisrael v'Yahav L'Re'acha, both in the realm of Bein Adam LaMakom and Bein Adam LaChaveray, are the most extraordinary psukim that we could think of. But the one that represents who we are at the core is a karban tamid. Morning, afternoon, morning, afternoon, morning, afternoon, consistency, consistency. And by the way, it's a lot easier said than done. Because sometimes when something becomes hergel, when something becomes rote, when something is done so often and frequently, it's difficult at times to go ahead and to maintain a certain level of enthusiasm, hislavos, the Ber Yosef. I saw this beautiful Ber Yosef brought down in Avnei Kodesh. It takes the Maral that we just said, but adds what I think is such a fundamental ingredient. The Ber Yosef says, if you'll open up to these psukim, our eight psukim, it's the first eight psukim of Chamishi, Perek Chav Ches, that deals with Karban Tamid. Seven of the psukim are understandable, but there's one pasuk. I'm referring to pasuk Vav that seems to be out of context. Pasuk Vav regarding the Karban Tamid says, Oilas Tamid, Asiyo Bahar Sinai, L'Reach Nichoyach, Ishela Hashem. This pasuk is talking about the Korban Tamid, that offering that was brought at Har Sinai, the Reach Nichoyach, that satisfying aroma, and the fire offering that was brought to Hashem. Why all of a sudden now, when introducing the Korban Tamid, morning, afternoon, what the Maral says represents the greatest demonstration and manifestation of our Avodah, i.e., consistency. Why all of a sudden, in the middle of this parsha of Korban Tamid, do we bring in that which seemed to have happened in our past history at Har Sinai? Why is it being mentioned here and now? To give all the kakasha. The Ber Yosef tells us so beautifully, because sometimes when you do something with timidius, with consistency, with hergel, that rote observance could set in. So while it's true that you know you're fulfilling a mitzvah, but sometimes that alacrity, that hislavos, that brand, that fire, that enthusiasm can sometimes become stale. So now, at the time of mentioning the Korban Tamid, we specifically speak about the Korban Tamid that was brought at Har Sinai, to bring us back to that one, to bring us back to when we first began to do this mitzvah. Rabbeisa, you have to realize that Korban Tamid at Har Sinai was the first Korban Tzibur that we brought, the first sacrifice for the communal sacrifice. It was brought by Kol Yisrael. You could imagine that it was done with a tremendous alacrity, tremendous excitement. There was preparation. We were about to receive the Torah. We could only imagine the hislavos, the enthusiasm, and the excitement. You could feel it, can't you? So it's precisely now that that pasuk regarding that first time that took place at Har Sinai is inserted now in the Korban Tamid to tell us that when we think about the Korban Tamid and that which our representatives, the Kayanim, bring twice a day, we hope Be'ezras Hashem they will also be infused so that it remains fresh and excited and something with hislavos, a brand, and a passion. That's why, says the Ber Yosef, in the middle of introducing Korban Tamid twice a day, that which happened at our Sinai is mentioned. Why? Think back to it. Think back to it. That was the first time you could only imagine the excitement with which it was brought. It's our avodah to do things with tamidius, with consistency, but to make sure that the hergel on the rote doesn't set in, but to try to make sure that that enthusiasm in Islam was there. How does one accomplish that? How does one accomplish that? It's a tall order. As I said a few moments ago, certainly easier said than done. So let's for a moment take a break from the Korban Tamid and fast forward, if you will, to that which I told you was found after in the parasha. It speaks about the three regalim, Pesach and Shulis and Sukkos. I've mentioned many times, in fact, we've only almost turned it into a custom, that when we speak about Mila Sachag, which means when we're saying Zegezuch and saying goodbye to a Yomtiv, usually at our Ne'ilah Sachag, we tend to say this pshat. Why is it that when talking about the Mayadim, the three festivals, that of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, why is it that the Torah refers to them as regalim? Excuse me, why does the Torah not only refer to them as regalim, I apologize, why does the Torah refer to them as Sholesh Pa'amim Bashana three times a year? Famously, we've said over from the Sfasemes, the word Pa'amim means times, but it's also etymologically from the word Pa'amim. A Pa'amim is a bell. The most notable character trait of a bell is that I use force to ring it. But when I stop using my force to ring the bell, the noise and the bell piece will continue to reverberate for a little while. Although I stop using my koyach, the bell will continue to make that noise. And that, says the Sfasemes, is why the three mayadim of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, Those three regalim are called Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana, from the word Pa'amim, because our Yamim Tovim, specifically the three, are to serve as a bell, as a Pa'amim. In other words, the Hashpa'a and the feeling, the exhilaration of Pesach should carry us to Shavuos. That exhilaration and feeling of Shavuos should carry us to Sukkos. And Sukkos should carry us through the long winter to Pesach. What a beautiful thought. And that's a way to appreciate the three Mayadim, those three Regalim, Shalosh Pe'amim, from the word Pa'amim. Just as a bell has the character trait that even when the ringing or my force has stopped, the ringing continues, that's the way our Yamim Tovim are supposed to be. Pesach is to serve as a Pa'amim to Shavuos. Shavuos is to serve as a Pa'amim to Sukkos. And Sukkos is to serve in turn as a Pa'amim for the Hashpa'a, the aura, the exhilaration, the excitement, the Shlamos, the bread, to continue to Pesach. And one leads to the other, and it keeps us throughout the entire year. So already we see that although there is Tinidius, there is consistency, just as we have 7 days a week, and then we have Shabbos, and the next week we have Shabbos, and so too with the Maya did we know. The cycle, we're very familiar with it. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, again and again, each and every year. But there is something built in to the Mayadim that allows us to have the hashpa'a, the aura, and the influence that should serve as a pa'amon from one to the other. And that's the way we're able to really remain in Am Kadosh, in Mamlechas Kayin and V'Goy Kadosh, because we're able to rise above and to, so to speak, go from one yomtiv to the other, and then to the third. And that's really what the Ber Yosef is referring to. That's why Har Sinai is mentioned in the middle of Karban Tomid, because although we're learning about the importance of consistency day in and day out, as we said earlier, that's why there's such great success with all of the learning that's yoimi, 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 it's consistency. But that consistency has to have that added element that something doesn't become rote and stale, but the effervescence, the vivaciousness, the enthusiasm, and the slavos must be there as well. This really is something that has to be mentioned now as we begin the 3 weeks. Just a few days ago in Shavasar B'Tamuz, I've mentioned in the past, and we'll quickly repeat it, there are three haftiras that we read during the 3 weeks of Beit HaMetzarim, known as Sholosh Deferenusa, the three of affliction. The first one that we'll read now is Divrei Yirmiyahu. The one that's read the second week is Shimu Dvar Hashem. And then, of course, Shabbos Chazoin, the Shabbos that precedes Tisha B'Av, when we read the famous words of the Navi, Chazoin Yeshayahu. Although it's listed in the Chumash as the first being the Haftarah for Matlis and the second for Maaseh, and the third for Devarim, but even when Matos and Maaseh are read together, these are still the three Haftiras, like in this year. Let's repeat them again. Sholosh Deferenusa, the three of affliction that correspond to the Beit HaMetzarim. The first one being Divrei Yirmiyahu, the second one being Shimu Dvar Hashem, and the third being Chazon Yeshayahu. Rabbi said, did you notice anything interesting about the opening words of those three haftiras, the three of affliction, that which we don't just read, but we study, and we try to inject the timeless lessons within us during the Beit HaMetzarim? Did you notice anything interesting about the words that I said? This week's haftira, Divrei Yirmiyahu, the words of Yirmiyahu. The second one, Shimu Divar Hashem, hear the words of Hashem. And the third one, of course, Shabbos Chazoin, Chazoin Yeshayahu, the vision of Yeshayahu. How interesting is it that we take all three into account, the first one being Divrei Yirmiyahu, the power of speech. The second one being Shimu Dvar Hashem, the power of listening. And the third one being Chazoin Yeshayahu, the vision, the power, the eyes. We speak about the mouth, we speak about the ears, and we speak about the eyes. If you think about it, that's a fabulous tie into this week's Parsha, Parshas Pinchas, because we just spoke about the three, not just Mayadim, not just Regalim, but what do we keep referring to those three as? Shalosh Pe'amim Bashana. Because we express that Pe'amim is like the Sfasemis says on the word Pe'amim, and the job of Pesach is to bring us to Shavuos, and Shavuos to Sukkot, and Sukkot to Pesach. But these three festivals, these three Pe'amim, the Regalim, the Mayadim, are represented by the three Haftiras. The first one that we have this week, Divrei Yirmiyahu, the speech. Speech is primarily the Yom Tov of Pesach. Pesach itself is called Pesach, which means the mouth that speaks. There's so much about Pesach that screams and shouts the power of speech. Not only the name, as I just told you, Pesach is Pesach, but we know the night of the Seder, there's a point of the Higadata Lebincha. You have to say this and teach this to your child. We know there's a give and take, give and take, give and take, question, answer, question, answer. It's all about the power of speech. In fact, it must also be noted that an easy way to recall what night Yom Tovim fall on, whatever night the night of the Seder is, if Chalila were still in Galus a few months later, on Tisha B'Av, the night of the Seder and the night of Tisha B'Av are the same night of the week. But a few months ago we had the Seder on Motzei Shabbos. If Chalil in 2.5 weeks were still in Galus, Tisha B'Av will be on Motzei Shabbos. Because once again the connection is, we lost the Batei HaMikdash because of Sinas Chinam, which is the byproduct of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara means we corrupted the power of speech. Pesach, Pesach is the night to rectify that which Tisha B'Av brought us a downfall. And that's the first of the three Haftiras, Divrei Yirmiyahu. Divrei Yirmiyahu being the words, a reference to Pesach. The next Haftira that we'll read next week is Shimu Dvar Hashem, to hear the words. That's, of course, a reference to Shavuos. When you hear that idea of Shimu, to hear the power of hearing, right away your mind is brought to the idea that we said the two words, the clarion answer, Naseh V'Nishma. Naseh V'Nishma. Naseh V'Nishma doesn't mean I'll do and then I'll listen, because how could you do if you haven't yet listened? You have to listen to know what to do. So it can't mean I will do and then I'll listen. Rather, Naseh V'Nishma means I will do that which I'm told, that which I listen to, that which I hear is what I will do. In other words, I will properly use the power of Shmia, of listening. That's Shavuos, Naseh V'Nishma, and that's the second Haftira, that of Shimu Dvar Hashem. And that, of course, brings us to the third and final Haftarah of the Shalosh Tefernus, the three of affliction, Chazon Yeshayahu, the vision, the power of the eyes, that clearly corresponds and correlates to the Yom Tov of Sukkos. Sukkos, for so many reasons, has its connection to the power of the eyes. We know that a person, when they're in their sukkah, they're supposed to be the proper combination of schach and lack of schach, so that I can look and I can see through and I can see the stars. So much of that which a sukkah cannot be higher than 20 amos. One reason is that it would be the type of thing that I couldn't see at that distance. I wouldn't be able to see. The person looks at the dalad minim. There's tremendous significance when it comes to the power of Sukkos and the power of the eyes, Chazon Yeshayahu. And maybe that's the connection between the parasha and the three haftiras of the three of affliction. When we read about Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, we're not just reading about the Mayadim and the Regalim. We're reading about them as Shalosh Pe'amim. This is like the bell where we're supposed to remember the tmidius and the enthusiasm. that's supposed to carry us, Pesach to Shavuot, Shavuot to Sukkot, Sukkot to Pesach. And the time to focus on that concept of living from one yontif to another like a bell is during the 3 weeks. For indeed, as we said a moment ago, when we read Divrei Yirmiyahu, we think Pesach. When we read Shimu Dvar Hashem, we think Shavuos. When we read Chazon Yeshayahu, we think Sukkot. So during the 3 weeks, to take these 22 days of the three Haftarahs of Becha and turn it into Baruch Yisrael is to remember the ideal and the concept of the Mayadim. They're not only Regalim, but they're Pa'amim from the word Pa'amim. We have a higher existence. We swing from one Yomtif to another. There is that Tamidius, that consistency, but that we have to inject with a certain sense of eslavos and enthusiasm. My father, Harav Mordechai Shapiro Zatzal, used to often say over the following pshat, which is an absolute gem. In Elul, we begin saying the David Hashem Oiri V'Yishi, the famous kapitel in Tehillim. David HaMelech famously says, Acha Shu'alti Me'is Hashem, Oysa Vakesh, I have but one request. Shifti Deveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. I would like to dwell in the house of Hashem forever. And then a few moments later, he says, Lachzois B'noyim Hashem, Ulevaker B'Heicholoi, and to visit his Heichol. Now, I don't understand, which is it? Shivti Beveis Hashem represents to dwell with a permanence. But then it ends by saying, Ulevaker B'Heicholoi, I want to visit. But visit is temporary. Does he want it with permanence? Or does he want it temporary? Which is it? So based on everything that we've said, my father Zatzal explained so beautifully, of course what David HaMelech wanted was to bask in the glory of Hashem and to dwell in that home. Shifty, shifty, shifty with the permanence. Of course, like the Karban Tamid, day in, day out, day in, day out. Shifty, shifty, shifty. But when something is done as a one-time or two-time visit, you know, imagine you're told somebody that you rarely see is coming to visit. Oh, you prepare and you get ready, and the visit is something that is La'ela u'la'ela extraordinary, as opposed to something or someone we're far more familiar with. So when there's that unusual one or two time visit, there's such a sense of awe and reverence. So David HaMelech was asking of Hashem, of course, Shifti B'Veis Hashem, I want to dwell in your home with permanence, but u'levaker b'heicholoi, I want it to be in a fashion of a visit. And just like a visit comes with an awe and a reverence, a certain feeling, a certain mystique, something that's almost not describable, how sweet would it be if we could merit Shifti B'Veis Hashem, but it should always be in the fashion with the awe and the reverence of a Bikur, where it doesn't get stale. It doesn't become rote, but the enthusiasm is always there. And that's the way my father would explain what David HaMelech was asking. I want there to be a shivti in the fashion ulevaker. May it always be the feeling of the bikur, the visit. I remember hearing, this is very similar to something we've mentioned in the past, when a man puts on tefillin in the morning and then wraps it three times around the finger, he says, he begins by saying, Ve'erastich li liyayom. Ve'erastich li, erusin means to be engaged. We ask Hashem that our relationship with him should be engagement forever. Engagement forever. But the point of engagement is eventually to come to nesu'in, to marriage. So why would we ask Hashem that our relationship should be one of a rastich li la'olam, Isn't that missing the point? We eventually want to achieve that permanence of nisuin, proper and full marriage. So why do we say veirasachli le'olam? The answer is exactly what we said a moment ago. Of course we want our relationship with Hashem to be one of permanence, a complete and proper marriage. Yes, 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 nisuin, of course. However, the truth is that a person realizes that although the idea and the objective is the suin and for there to be a complete marriage, but the time of erusin, the time of engagement, offers something very special and unique that very often you don't have by the nisuin. Just then, when the couple gets engaged, there is that certain feeling, whether we describe it as the awe or that of the mystique, that first feeling of the erusin, of the engagement, something that's so extraordinary you can't sometimes put it properly into words. Of course the erusin is supposed to lead to nisuin, but the feeling that sometimes exists by erusin can never be duplicated. So we're asking Hashem, please, I want our relationship with you to be one of nisuin, but in a fashion of erusin. Let us be married forever, but let the marriage always be in a constant state of engagement. So that that feeling never dissipate, never wane. The rote never set in. What a bracha that is to say every day. That our relationship should be one of a complete and proper marriage, but let us feel each and every day that feeling of the erastich, the erusin, let that be le'ila oilam. And that's what David HaMelech was saying, that the shifti be in the fashion of a bikur. And that's the way we understand what the Beis Yosef is saying. On the pshat we said from the Maral, of course there's a karbon tamid, and the most important and greatest demonstration of avoid and serving Hashem is that tamidius, that consistency, day in and day out, as represented from one yontif to another to another. But it has to be, and that's why that pasuk is injected with Har Sinai. Just like by Har Sinai there was the extraordinary enthusiasm, we hope that when we are now introduced to something with tamidius and consistency, that enthusiasm will always be there. And that's a priceless lesson for ourselves and to pass on the Messiah to future generations. It is certainly a way to take the Sholosh Deferanus, the three of affliction of Divrei Yirmiyahu, Pesach, Shimu Dvar Hashem, Shavuos, Chazon Yeshayahu of Sukkos, and remember the lesson of the Mayadim as a pa'amayin, it's to keep the enthusiasm one to the other. It is an avodah. There's no question about it. It is something that we have to work on. I hope Be'ezras Hashem, learning about the Karban Talmud and Parshas Pinchas, and learning about the Mayadim, specifically the three Pa'amim of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, it will remind us of the gift that we can serve Hashem with tamidius, with consistency, and that's why the Pasuk of the Karban Talmud was chosen as the all-inclusive Pasuk representing the Torah. I hope even more that we're able to have our nesuin with the erastichli le'olam. We're able to have our shifti beveis Hashem with ulevaker beheicholai. And in that way, we'll be able to truly say, becha, these 22 days of Shivosar to Tishu B'Av, known as Bein HaMitzarim, yevarech Yisrael, will be'ezus Hashem be turned into days of bracha, so that this year already, we're able to have a Tisha B'Av, a proper Mayed, where we're able to rejoice the Chutzos Yerushalayim.